Welcome, and thank you for tuning into the Graceland Church podcast. Our mission is to follow Jesus and love our neighbor for the good of the city.
Welcome to Graceland Church. You guys can take your seat. A joy to have you here with us on Thanksgiving week. Happy Thanksgiving to you all. Who is looking forward to a wonderful week? Who is looking forward to some incredible food? Who already has their Christmas tree set up like me? My people. I'm just letting you know I'm winning that battle with my wife. She's one of you that is like, no Christmas before Thanksgiving. Where are those people at? We got a few. Not quite as enlightened. It's okay. Where are my people? Christmas, any time of the year, we're good. See, my argument is getting the tree up and starting the festivities just makes me more thankful. It helps me celebrate Thanksgiving even more. And I just want to let you know, in case you're worried, I did not demand this of my wife. I've never quoted the scripture you must submit to me about our Christmas tree. So we've always waited till after Thanksgiving, except this year. She came to me. Let me just give you a pro tip, husband. Plant the seed for 20 years. Just be patient. Play the long game. She came to me and she said, hey, why don't we put the tree up this weekend and maybe even watch our first Christmas movie? Amazing. We started Home Alone. We made it about 20 minutes in. We got our tree up and we still have our plastic pumpkins out on the table as well. So it's the healthy compromise. How many are with me and just know you have so much to be thankful for? It's hard to even comprehend, honestly. There are hard things in life for sure. And I understand some of you are in hard spots, but how much do we have to be thankful for? Beyond what we can even imagine. We have so much abundance in our life. And I want to start off the message today actually with a quote from a teacher named John Bevere. He's an author. How many have ever read a John Bevere book? Curious. How many have heard of him? How about Lisa Bevere, his wife? Just out of curiosity. I'm hoping to have them here to minister at some point. They're busy and travel the world, but they recently moved their ministry here into Franklin from Colorado Springs, Colorado. So they're here in the area. I've been reading his stuff for probably 25 years. And he said recently that God desires you to have abundance, that which we are also thankful for, but only if your heart is to build his kingdom. And today we're actually finishing a series where we've shared some new language around our mission, vision, and our values here at the church. Let me just give you a little recap. Our vision, newly articulated, is a land of grace for the good of the world. That's what God has called us to build here. And what we're doing in that vision is offering God's grace to every person. And it's important to note, we're not talking about a shallow understanding of grace, a theological misunderstanding of how significant and costly grace actually is. And I talked a number of weeks ago about how grace awakens us. We're only alive because of grace. Grace saves us. By God's grace alone, we are saved. It also changes us and calls us into a holy life, and it empowers us. All the gifts of God on our life are manifestations of his grace. And it's that kind of grace that we want to offer every single person here at the land of grace that exists for the good of the world. And we talk through new language for four values. Here's what they are. We are people of God's word. We are driven by God's presence, maturing as disciples of Jesus. And today, we're talking about building God's kingdom. And I want you to look again at that quote. God desires you to have abundance, but only if your heart is to build his kingdom. There's a warning and an invitation in the midst of the blessing of abundance. And I'm thankful for abundance. And it's part of the promise of God that we would have what we need. But I want to illustrate two potential pathways with a quote from a famous author, Charles Dickens, in A Tale of Two Cities. Read with me on screen the first chapter. Don't read out loud, but I'm just going to read it to you. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of belief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. In short, the period was so far like the present period that some of its noisiest authorities insisted on its being received, for good or for evil, in the superlative degree of comparison only. And I want to paint a picture, if you'll use your imagination with me, of two possibilities of your life that are similar to this tale of two cities. But for you, it's a tale of two lives. It's a tale of two potential paths. And I want to give you probably an unexpected opening principle that makes a juxtaposition of two paths, a comparison that might be a little surprising to you, but then I'm going to show you how this is actually a comparison from Jesus himself in God's word. But let me give you the principle first. If you're a note taker, number one, will you choose a life of worry or a life of kingdom building? These are the tale of two lives. Will your life be marked by worry, or will it be marked by kingdom building? Jesus paints the picture of one or the other in Matthew chapter 6. And just by way of further description, number two, again, if you're a note taker, worry is a self-consumed life. Kingdom building is a God-consumed life. And I want to share a note. A self-consumed life can feel peaceful for a while. You can make a lot of money. You can amass for yourself friendships, and at least to a certain degree, you can live a life that pleases you and sustains you for a season, but a self-consumed life will always end with fear, confusion, and separation. You can see it all throughout God's word and throughout the human condition all throughout history. But a God-consumed life, on the other hand, lives for God's kingdom. It pledges allegiance to the king of a different kingdom, and it promises connection to Jesus, which includes the promise of provision, God caring for all our needs. So I want to give you a spoiler alert in the text we're going to look at. Matthew 6:33 is my wife and I. So my wife is right here on the front row. And I want to give thanks to God publicly. We didn't share about this with everyone, but do you mind me just briefly saying, we had a lot of sickness in our house this week, just normal kind of stomach bugs, but the kind that kept people home and kept getting passed around. And we're all well now, thankfully. My wife caught it, and she has something from when she was a kid called common faint. Has anyone heard of that? No, my wife is the only one on the planet that's heard. Has anyone else heard of it? One other person has heard of it. You're helping me with your other arguments. No, I'm just kidding. It's a real thing, and we haven't had it a lot in our marriage, but she had it as a kid. We had it one time when we lived out in Los Angeles, and this week it happened where she was feeling ill, and it was the middle of the night. She passed out. She was in our downstairs bathroom. She hit the wall and the ground hard. She was bleeding. She was bruised. She couldn't move. She was disoriented, and thankfully, she started making noises loud enough that I heard her upstairs in bed. Am I saying too much? And I came down and found her. Laying on the bathroom floor and not knowing what was going on, with blood all over her and bruised up, and had no idea what happened. We eventually found out. We were worried. She couldn't walk. We finally got her to a couch. We thought we were going to have to go to the ER, figure stuff out with the kids. We had Nessa on the ground trying not to throw up. You know, it's just hard to, you know, figure it all out at the same time. And thankfully, by God's grace, she didn't have any profound injuries. It's awesome. Yes, thank you, Pastor Samuel. And her face looks amazing today. She could show you a picture of how it looked just a little bit ago. Still amazing, but a little bloody and bruised. Oh, you're trying. Wow, nice. Yeah. So thankful for just God's. Notice how I just moved on. So thankful for God's protection of my wife and my kids. And this verse that I'm going to share with you this morning, I love getting to preach on it. It's been our core verse throughout our marriage, Matthew 6:33. We have it on our wedding bands engraved. And you might have heard it, you might not. It goes something like this. It's not going to be on screen yet, but it says, "Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as well." That's the principle. And so we, as a young couple, just in our young 20s, knew that God had called us to abandon our lives for the glory of God and to just say yes to however he called us, whatever he tapped our shoulder to do. At the time, we were in Pennsylvania. Both California and Tennessee were nowhere on our radar. And we were just like, God, we sign up for the adventure you have for us. We will follow you, our king. And therefore, we held to the promise. We're not just going to try to build a life that's everything that we want. We're going to lay down our life to pursue the king, and he's going to give us everything we need. You see the difference? And it has held us and sustained us through almost 20 years now. And he has been so incredibly faithful, and I'm so thankful for his grace. But I want to read you the passage leading up to that promise, and it's going to juxtapose for us a tale of two lives, worry or kingdom building. Jesus starts in verse 25 of Matthew 6 by saying, "Therefore, I tell you." And whenever you see "therefore," you have to look at what's before it. And I'll just let you know, we're not going to turn there. But Jesus just finished talking about storing up treasure in heaven. So there's some aspect of where we store our treasure that has to do with our heart to build God's kingdom. He goes on to say, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" So he's warning us right there, don't go down the path of worry. It's actually a command from Jesus. I used to worry a lot as a kid. I was pretty particular. I still can be like that. My dad was a pastor, but also a marriage and family therapist. And he taught me a word when I was probably 5, 6, or 7 called catastrophizing. And he would say, "Nathan, stop catastrophizing." And it's when you make a catastrophe about something that's really small. Does anybody else in here do that sometimes? Come on, be honest. We're in church. How many did it this morning? Come on. When I was a little kid, someone's raising their hand up high. Yes, catastrophizing. For me, my socks used to drive me crazy. And if I didn't have my socks right, I would catastrophize. And my parents bought me a shirt. They just tried to like prophetically brand me. It said, "Don't worry, be happy." They're like, "Just wear this shirt, Nathan. This will help you." And I'm just a little kid. And thankfully, at that point, I didn't really, of course, know the Lord. And I've come to know Jesus and learned how to actively not worry. But I just want to remind you, it's not a silly just encouragement on a shirt. It's a command from Jesus, warning you about a path to not go down. Do not worry about your life. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And I love this because he appeals to your identity here. And I've made this connection as I've pastored people and as I've lived it. You really can't step into a life that's not marked by worry and a life of kingdom building if you don't know who you are and if you don't know whose you are. Of course you're going to worry if you think you're just out here in the world by yourself trying to figure it out for you and yours. Of course you're going to worry. The world is daunting, terrifying. There's all kinds of craziness out there. But if you can get it through that head of yours and that sometimes thick-walled heart of yours, that you are the beloved of God, the King of all kings, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, you can begin to live a life with a glad surrender that is about the purposes of your King. So Jesus is saying, how much more is he going to take care of you, the beloved? Look how he takes care of the flowers. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life, Jesus said. He applies to our logic. Does it help you, in other words, when you worry? We all know it doesn't, but we all do it. There is no addition to your life. There's no benefit with worry. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans, it means those who don't know God yet, they run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. And here's the promise. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. There he shows like a bright shining light the tale of the other path that you could take in your life. I believe this so strong as a juxtaposition that I have a sense that if you continue to let yourself worry, you will stray away from a life building God's kingdom. But if you lean into a life building God's kingdom, you will learn to live a life free of worry. It's similar to the Leonard Ravenhill quote, "The man who prays will stop sinning. The man who sins will stop praying." If you keep sinning with worry, because worry is sin, it's a mistrust in God. It's a declaration of saying, "God, I really don't think you've got this. Let me worry about it." And I don't say that to make you feel bad. I know we all worry, but can we just call it what it is? It's sin. You guys with me on this? It does not hit the mark of what God has for us. So the more we allow ourselves to do it, the more we neglect the work of God's kingdom that he's called us to. And then vice versa as well. The word kingdom, it's important to define what we're talking about. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? Is it a literal place? Is it a church building? It's not that. The kingdom of God is wherever the rule and reign of God is established. I heard Tony Evans recently say, the kingdom is the comprehensive rule of Christ. He is the king, and wherever his authority is established, there his kingdom is. It is an intangible kingdom. It is not just a physical place. It will be a physical place, new heavens and new earth. But the first step for all of us in seeking first the kingdom is always praying this prayer: God, is your authority established in my mind and in my life? Is your authority ruling in me? As soon as it is, his kingdom has come in your life. His rule is established, and it's all in the context of the grace of God, the righteousness that we receive, the right standing with God that we receive alone through Jesus must then be followed up with actual seeking his kingdom. So don't even just wait for God to come knock you on the head and say, you need to work on this area. No, seek his authority. I've always likened it to something that I've done for years now, seeking counsel from leaders and mentors and pastors in my life. I never understand when people don't ask questions or talk about what they're wrestling with from some higher authorities. I've done that for years now. I ask questions and I learn because of that. That is seeking something. And so to seek his kingdom is to say, God, I want to know in greater ways what your authority means for my life. I want that. I desire that more than a promotion at my job. I desire that more than a spouse. I desire that more than whatever dream is in your heart right now. What does it mean for me to say your kingdom come and will be done in my heart as it is in heaven? And what you'll find is as soon as you start to let his authority reign in you, he's going to whisper to you about little areas that he's calling you to obey him in. He's just going to bring them to light. And then the way you carry his kingdom and build his kingdom is by obeying what he says. And here's the promise when it comes to trust and leaving a life of worry. Number three, when you're a kingdom builder, provision follows you. You're no longer chasing a paycheck. You're no longer subservient to whoever is paying you, though you should work and do it well and do it honorably as though working for the Lord. But when you're a kingdom builder, money follows and serves you. And I don't mean it in a weird prosperity gospel kind of way, but God does want to bless you with resource, not so that you can just have an abundance, but so that you can build his kingdom. This is what God calls you to. And so I want to ask you, number four, how is God calling you to lift your vision and build his kingdom? I want to challenge you that when you're planning your life and thinking about your career and your family and your loved ones, don't just think about what you need to earn to take care of yourself and save what you need to save. A real kingdom builder will start to lift their vision and say, wait a second, I'm not just earning for me, I'm earning for the purposes of God's kingdom. You see the difference? One way that we do this is with our resources, though it's much more than just money. It's also the gifts that are on our life, the ways that God has called us and spoken to us. But I want to pause for a minute, and we're not taking any offering about this today, but I want you to grab this, and I want to read through it with you. It's our Kingdom Builders Miracle Offering pamphlet. It's on your seat or right next to you. Grab one. This actually won't all be on screen, so I want to actually read it together with you as a practical way that we can be kingdom building here as a church. Kingdom Builders Miracle Offering on the front. At Graceland Church, we are people of God's word, driven by God's presence, maturing as disciples of Jesus, and building God's kingdom. Those are those four values that I just shared at the beginning of this message. Every year, we have the mandate and the opportunity to give towards the purposes of God in our church, in our community, and around the world. We do this through Kingdom Builders. This miracle offering funds our Kingdom Builders initiatives. We are a land of grace for the good of the world, and that starts with each of us as individuals and families. Here's the ask. I want to be really clear about this. We are asking you to pray. So I'm not asking you to give. I'm not asking you or demanding anything of the sort. But what I am asking you with all the boldness in my heart is pray to the living God about how he may be calling you to be a part of this miracle offering and the vision of this house. We believe God wants to expand your vision and faith for his kingdom, all while taking care of all your needs. Go ahead and open up. The miracle offering, formerly known as our Christmas offering, that's what we used to call this if you were here last year or in the last few years. This is taking place of that. It's giving towards, going towards our three Kingdom Builders initiatives. Number one, local fund. With last year's offering, we were able to care for widows and orphans, rescue those trapped in addictions, and provide generously to many facing the hardest moments of their lives in our church and community. Thank you for that. We had over $100,000 come in last year that we've been able to serve people with all year long. Our local fund enables us to be the hands and feet of Jesus in our city, provide tangibly to meet basic needs, support young missionaries on our college campuses through Chi Alpha, and offer support for disaster relief. It also helps us provide discipleship for mothers in our community through Mum Life, respond to unexpected needs with our facility, like paving our driveway and expanding our parking lot this year, which both happened just in the last few months, and support church planting around our nation through Church Multiplication Network. So it accelerates our work locally. Number two, our global fund. God is a missionary God. He loves the world and sent Jesus to seek and save the lost. That's the only reason we know him today. Pause there for a second and look at me. I want to make sure you catch this. God is a missionary God, which is why he came to seek and save you and me. Aren't we glad that God is a missionary God? We were once lost and now we're found. And if we were living without God now, we would still be lost. And if you're here and you are lost and confused, this message of good news is for you. You have a God who loves you. If you're watching online, there's a God whose mission is to find you, his lost children. Praise the Lord. But here's what that means. Even though once we come into the family and become one of his beloved sons and daughters, he still has a mission to reach the world. How many know what I'm talking about? So I want to make a strong statement, but I stand behind it biblically. If you aren't personally going to the nations as a missionary, then you're called to help send them. All of you are called to be a missionary right here where you live. And if you're not called to vocationally full-time be a missionary, which you might be, let me know if that's stirring in you, you are called to help send them. Part of our miracle offering is sending over 30 missionaries on God-ordained strategic assignments all around the world. They are loving people in Jesus' name, meeting profound needs, clean water, food, shelter, training, disaster relief, sharing the gospel with those who have never heard it, making disciples, and planting churches. We do this through our trusted partners in Assemblies of God, World Missions, and Convoy of Hope. The more we give to Kingdom Builders through this miracle offering, the more we can do. Every dollar actually helps transform a life. One of the reasons I have stayed in the Assemblies of God for my entire life in ministry is because of how incredible the missions arm of the Assemblies of God is. The Assemblies of God was birthed out of a revival called the Azusa Street Revival in Southern California in the early 1900s. A few different denominations came out of that were Pentecostal, filled with the Spirit of God. And we are still a result of that 100 years later. And their heart, because they got filled with the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is a missionary spirit. So as soon as that happens, God sends you on a mission. And the early Assemblies of God leaders took it so seriously that now, because of the fruit of their labor and their giving and their going, the Assemblies of God has about 3 million adherents in America and about 90 million around the world because of all the fruit of all the missionaries. And let me be clear, it's not about the Assemblies of God or that branding. It's just the tribe that we walk in as part of the Big C Global Church and Kingdom of God. Tracking with me on that? But it's so incredible to have a missions system like what we have in AG World Missions that we can trust and partner with. And Convoy of Hope also came out of the Assemblies of God, but is now one of the top 10 disaster relief organizations in the world, Christian or non-Christian. So that's our local fund, our global fund, number three, our future fund. We are a land of grace for the good of the world, and we aspire to grow into that vision more every year. We've been working hard to develop our land. If you don't know, we have 135 acres of land right here that we've been working on for years. There's a whole 20-year history behind it, but now we're working on the development of it, prepare for our new building, and expand our ministry capacity to kids, youth, and adults as an outpost of God's kingdom that will reach people for generations to come. I won't say too much about it, but it's not just going to be a church building. We're doing business partnerships that generate money in perpetuity for Kingdom Builders work. We're praying through things like a retirement center, a school, a daycare, shared creative space, a studio, nature trails throughout the mountains that we own. It's an incredible vision. Each year, this offering helps us strategically move forward in this vision. This year, it will also help us partner with the Tennessee Ministry Network to revitalize the Jackson Conference Center, where our students, along with thousands of others, go to camp every summer. We are shaping the future by raising up a Jesus generation, and they are hungry for revival and spiritual awakening like never before. Let's do our part to make the way. Amen? Now, I want to take this moment to pray, because this week our students are going to youth convention. Come on. It's going to be awesome. And Pastor Samuel, along with a bunch of our leaders and students, are leaving on Tuesday, I believe it is. They'll be there Tuesday night, Wednesday, and then they come back Wednesday night, all right before Thanksgiving Day. My wife and I will be there at Opryland Convention Center. So, Lord, just join me in praying. God, we pray for Pastor Samuel, the team, and all of these students, and we give you thanks for Graceland Youth. Not just the church of tomorrow, but the church of today. Your call, your purpose is alive in these students. We pray that they will have a safe trip, that you'll be with all these drivers and vehicles. And we pray that they will build deep and lasting friendships and have so much fun together. And we pray, God, that as they hear your word and as they're surrounded by thousands of other students worshiping and dancing in the joy of the Lord, we pray that they will have encounters with you, the living God, that change their life forever in Jesus' name. We pray specifically against any kind of ways the enemy is trying to mess with our students' heads. We pray that truth will invade, that they will know who you are, and they will hear your voice at this age, and it will set the trajectory for their life. Even specifically, like we're looking at today, that their life would be the tale of kingdom building, not of worry. It will be the path of wholehearted surrender to Jesus, not of anxiety. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Be praying for them. We're excited to share testimonies about that. And by the way, some of our Kingdom Builders money through some generous donors is sponsoring some of our students to go, covering all their costs and others part of their cost. Praise the Lord for that. Our goal for this whole year for Kingdom Builders is $200,000. This is right here in your pamphlet. Given year to date, I'm happy to report $65,725. Praise the Lord. Remaining goal, $134,275. Our trust is in the Lord, and he will provide all we need to do all he has called us to do. This goes for you personally as well. As you seek his kingdom first, he will care for all your needs. Flip on the back, just a few frequently asked questions. When can I give? There's a typo on the top here because this part was pasted from some previous text. The miracle offering, not Christmas offering, will be on Sunday, December 7th. And Sunday, December 14th. If you miss those days or can't give at those times, you can give towards this offering anytime between now and January 11th. How do I give? Write miracle offering on your check or giving envelope, or select miracle offering in the drop-down menu when you give online. You can scan the QR on the front of this pamphlet. All this information and a video is on there. If you're giving online, especially a large amount, you can select bank account on the bottom to give via check through your routing and accounting numbers, and it'll minimize the online giving fee. Like if someone's giving $10,000 online, let us know and we'll help you set it up in a way that 3% of that or whatever it is doesn't go to covering administrative costs with the credit card company. Number three, will I receive giving credit for taxes? Yes. If you want credit for 2025, your gift must be given by December 31st. Should I detract from my regular giving for this offering? No. We rely, you like that passionate no, we rely on your consistent tithe to keep the church alive. This offering is part of our Kingdom Builders initiatives above our tithe. Can I learn more details about our Kingdom Builders partners? Yes. Visit GracelandChurch.com/KB. I do love the rapper KB, but this refers to Kingdom Builders. Where are my other KB fans out there? Awesome, awesome. Or get the prayer guide in the foyer. You can see them right out there on your way out. Please be praying for all these missionaries and ministries. Thank you in advance for your prayerful consideration and for your obedience to how the Lord leads you. We could not do what God has called us to do apart from your generosity and faithfulness. Isn't this amazing? I love getting to be a part of this. This is a huge part of what God has called us to do. So Lord, we just commit this offering into your hands, all this Kingdom Builders vision, and I pray that you'll speak to every heart in the room, that you'll stir us for a greater vision, whatever that may be. And even if we can't do everything we want to this year, I pray you'll help us expand and lift our vision for how we live for decades to come. God, help us to be earners for your kingdom, not just for ourselves, and rid us of worry in Jesus' name. A few closing principles as the worship team comes up. If you go back to your notes, These are questions that I use on myself as a litmus test. A litmus test just means a decisively indicative test. I use it in science class. These are three just from my own journal on how am I doing as a kingdom builder and how am I thinking and living. And so it's your three bottom fill-ins. Number one, are you being more attentive to your to-do list or the leading of the Spirit? That one smacks me around sometimes because I make lists to help me get done what I need to get done. And even specifically sometimes on the weekends and Sundays, and I really do it every work day, and even just in Jess and I's lives with all our kids and what we're thinking through with our calendar, I make lists. And oftentimes when I go to pray in the middle of my day as I'm working through my list, I sense the voice of the Lord just being like, hey, Nathan, I'm glad you're working hard to accomplish your list. Have you thought much about my list? And just becoming available for how God might want to interrupt my day or speak to me about something or make aware someone around me. I learned this lesson starting in my senior year of high school. I cried out to God to help me with a test. Students, you can pray for God to help you with a test. Who's done that before? I was like, God, help me with this test. And he totally helped me. I crushed the test. It's like, this is great. I finished. I'm done. I felt great about it. Gave my test in. And then I just had to sit there and wait. And I think it was right towards the end of the year. It probably was like a final exam or something like that. And man, I was a new Christian following Jesus. And I just started sitting in my chair, sensing God wanting to talk to me, just right there in my public school in Virginia Beach. It makes me emotional just thinking about it because it's such God's grace that he even gives us glimpses like this. But after I had prayed so hard for my test, I just sensed God make me think of this girl that was in my class sitting next to me. I don't remember her name. I can kind of remember what she looked like. And I just felt the Lord whisper to me, hey, I want you to pray for her. And it was just like a case study of this. It's so easy to just worry about our test and miss kingdom building, right? The principle is when you kingdom build, God will help you with your test. I began to pray for her and I ended up writing her a note. This was before phones. There's no texting. I wrote her a note. I said, do you believe in God? And I gave it to her. And she kind of looked at me like, this is weird. And gave it back and said yes. And I said, do you feel like you know God? Which is always a great follow-up question because it's not just about believing in something that's distant. I said, do you feel like you know God? I gave it back to her. And she said, what do you mean? And so she then gave me the note back and I proceeded to like write out the whole gospel in the best way I could. I did like the bridge the chasm with the cross thing and sin and the gospel. And I said, this is the invitation to know God and the invitation to forgiveness. And I gave it to her. I don't remember too much about it, except, you know, it was a long time ago. I do remember she looked at it for a while and I was like nervous. I was praying for her and I was like, man, she's going to think I'm such an idiot. She's going to think I'm just a stupid Christian. She's going to think whatever. I'm so judgmental. But I was like, God, I pray for her. And it's crazy because I never spoke to her again. I don't remember her name. It was the end of the year. But I looked at her and she had a tear coming down. And so I don't know for sure what happened in her heart right there or if it even mattered much. But to me, it was the Lord beginning to teach me about kingdom building and that being the focus. My wife, I just told you, about how sick she was and how she got hurt. And she did something I always catch her doing this. Sometimes it makes me angry. But it's a kingdom building heart. She said, hey, Nathan, you're not going to believe this. And by the way, she's laying on the couch suffering, bleeding, hoping we don't have to go to the ER. But she got back into her work and she ended up on an Amazon call, I think trying to return something. And she was on the phone with some young girl from South Africa that works for Amazon, who found out that Jessica was a pastor's wife for some reason on this call. And she said, oh, can I ask you some questions? And she said, I'm about to marry a pastor and I'm really scared and I need to talk to you. And they talked for a while and she just ministered to this South African young girl for however long. Wow, I'm like, you need to be resting. She just like can't help herself. She did it one time when she was giving birth in the hospital, about to push out one of our kids. I don't remember which one. It was Nessa. I was literally upset at this. She was one of these women who gives birth with no drugs, which I never would have done, but I supported her in it. So she's feeling a lot of pain, having real contractions. And all of a sudden, I think if I get the story right, she found out her nurse had recently lost her father. Her dad had died. And so of course Jessica started telling her, I lost my dad. Her dad died when she was little. I think she just had the 30th anniversary, right? And she's just like praying for this nurse and ministering to her in the hospital room. And I'm like, stop, please just have the baby. Please, we got something we're doing here. But it's actually the thing that I love in her the most. And it's the path of kingdom building instead of the path of worry. And it comes from being attentive, not just to your to-do list. Like, she had something to do, push a baby out, but also being attentive to the leading of the Spirit. What I find, you might be thinking, well, stuff like that doesn't happen to me. What I find is this: if you make yourself available to the Lord and you start seeking His kingdom, He will bring those opportunities to you because He knows you're going to notice it. You get what I'm saying? I think He wants to use us all in those ways. Number two, litmus test. Are you being more attentive to your passions or the heart of God? God's heart is for the world. God so loved the world. It's for your neighbor. Number three, are you being more attentive to your goals or the agenda of God's kingdom? And specifically in this context, when it comes to your finances, I want to challenge you. Not just for the sake of what we're doing here at Graceland, but your discipleship. Are you being more attentive to your goals or the agenda of God's kingdom? He wants you to be an income generator for His kingdom. When you become a follower of Jesus, your allegiance is no longer to your own goals, but to the goals of the King. Our church has no allegiance to its own goals, only to the goals of the King. Can you say amen with me on that? So Lord, we pray that You'll help us with this. I pray for every soul in the room, that they'll hear whatever it is You're wanting to say to them, and that they'll take just one more step forward in being a kingdom builder. If there's anyone here who's living a life really consumed with worry, which I know happens, I've been there many, many times, I pray they wouldn't feel condemnation about it, but that this could be a wake-up call and a reminder that You've not called them to live like that. You've called them into something much greater, a purpose much higher. And God, I just believe, my friends here, I believe God wants you to know that God is saying to you, He sees your needs. He sees them. They're not a surprise to your Heavenly Father. He knows what you need, and you can trust Him. You can surrender every single thing in your hands before a good and just King who will guide your steps and who will then help meet all your needs. So you can trust Him. Keep working hard. Keep doing what you can do, but trust Him and place it all in His hands, and He's going to take care of your needs. It's a promise that you can literally build your life on, the truth of God's word. The invitation from Jesus when we miss the mark on this is to repent. It was the first thing He preached. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent from a life of worry and step into a new path, the kingdom of heaven. Repent of a life self-consumed and step into a new path, being God-consumed as a kingdom builder.